You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and
a friend of mine is going to be on the podcast. But when I say friend, I've seen him twice and I paid him a lot of money.
Oh, okay. And
not a prostitute.
Did he touch you?
He did touch me. He left a mark on me and oh. I will never forget him.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm nervous.
I really am. It's got nothing to do with me. I don't know this person. I've never met him before. I haven't organized this.
I don't intend to see him.
I have no
affiliation.
I have no affiliation to them.
Oh my.
Hello.
Oh dear God. Lock up your daughters. Joining us this week is the most fertile tattoo artist in the country. His semen is so potent that I feel pregnant right now. Welcome, Mr. Ryan Kelly.
Thank you very much for that. It's made me feel very comfortable.
Oh, look, this is great. I need to introduce you, Ryan, to my co-presenter, Graham. You two get on.
Ryan, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm suspicious.
I'm glad to meet you because I feel like you're the one that keeps him in check.
I try my best, Ryan.
I'm a rascal. Yeah.
I do try my best, but I want to know, is he getting a free tattoo out of you coming on this podcast? Because before you answer, if the answer is yes, you aren't going to get much business out of coming on this podcast. I don't know what Nathan has sold you this podcast.
Baby.
He sold you a dud. If you think you're coming on here thinking this is going to change your life, Ryan, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
No, I had honestly assumed I was doing him a favour.
You yes. Actually are.
Yes, you are. We were stuck for a guest and we needed someone. I have to say, I'm happy to have Ryan on. We always begin by saying, who are you? What do you do?
Sure, you've already done that.
Oh, well, okay. Well, give me something, Ryan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's hard to follow your introduction. I'll go a different avenue. My name is Ryan Kelly. I'm a tattoo artist. And that is about it, unfortunately.
That's it, baby. I want to say that Ryan has given me two tattoos in my lifetime. I have three. The very first tattoo, I went into his place, Heartbreak Social Club, used to be on Capel Street. We'll go into that later on. A big dirty plug, don't you worry. I went in there.
You're not going to get any business.
Look, he might get one or two.
Sorry, I'm really sorry.
I might get one or two, Graham. I went in there. I had a plan in my mind. Yeah. I wanted to get this wrist tattoo. So
this was your first tattoo, I remember it well. Ryan, I couldn't believe it. This guy, people would call him a loser.
Big ol' loser.
And he was going in because tattoos are for cool people.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to get a wrist tattoo. And I said, that looks absolutely atrocious. Please don't do that. You're going to embarrass yourself.
I tell you, I went in there and I see this beautiful tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, covered in tattoos, tall man. I can see he's well endowed and his semen is potent.
Yeah.
He walks towards me and he says, right, welcome. Welcome to the Heartbreak Social
Club.
How
does it work? Do you walk in, is it like a haircut, Ryan? And I can walk in and say, I want this tattoo, or do I have to discuss it first?
Yeah, you have to discuss it. So usually what we do is our bookings and stuff are done online. Obviously, have to be now. People can't just walk in. But so Nathan had, will I tell the story, Nathan? Is that okay?
You tell the story.
Yeah, so Nathan had come in to talk about a tattoo. At the time, I'll admit, I didn't know he was such a celebrity. I didn't know at this stage. But he did. He carried himself like he was a somebody. I got that pretty quick.
Yeah. He thinks he is,
Yeah, he kind of like came in and as if he owned the place.
Yes,
you know,
yes. That's Nathan O'Reilly. That's me. Just the guy.
How are you going on?
So, yeah, immediately I was a bit like, who's this guy? And then he told me what he wanted. And like you said, Graham, I didn't think it was a great idea. So it's part of my job, if I don't think it's wonderful, to maybe try steer you in a better direction. So we had a little talk about it. I was like, it's not something I do. I thought we left on good terms, but only when he came back later in my life for another tattoo that he told me how angry and how little he thought of me after he left that day.
I thought he was a right bastard because I had the idea. I'd sent him exactly what I wanted because this is what you do, Graham. Yeah. If you come across a tattoo you like, you take a picture of it and you send it on to your personalized tattoo artist. Something I didn't know, I'm sure the listener might know, with tattoos, I thought every tattoo artist could do the same thing. But they all have these special skills. Mm. Some go, oh, I only do massive tattoos or I do tiny ones. And I remember, Ryan, I'm sure you remember this. You did out a tattoo of what you thought you could do on my wrist. Absolutely yeah. disgusting. It was like a rope. Like, what were you trying to do to me?
Right. I'm not going to upset you, right? Well, I've seen your tattoo and you still should have listened to me.
Oh, I agree, sir. I regret it every day.
So how did you find out about Ryan?
I found out about Ryan because I had a hairdresser at the time and he recommended me to Ryan. He's a big deal around the tattoo okay. scene. Can we kind of go back to how did you become a tattoo artist, Ryan?
When I left school, I was going to the army originally. That's what I'd always wanted to do. And the year I was going, I was about to start basic training. I'd enlisted in that. And then they stopped it due to the recession. So we were put on hold, essentially. So during that time, we knew it would be about a year. So I thought I would do something in line with my help me in the army. So I studied fitness, etc. and UCD for a year. By the time I finished that, then the army got postponed for another 6 months and I was still happy to wait for that. And in that 6 months, then I'd started getting tattooed. I went to a place, they were looking for an apprentice. So I kind of thought, you know, this mightn't be a bad idea for the time being. So I asked them for an apprenticeship. They needed a portfolio. I didn't have one. So I went home and I drew literally, I'd say about 12, 15 hours a day for about 2 weeks, brought it in, got it. And then I loved it. And when the army came around, I stayed tattooing and that was that.
Why did you want to go to the army?
It was a good while ago. I think I always wanted to, but looking back on it, I think it was because I knew I could fail my leaving cert. And that's the God honest truth. Mm-hmm. I remember going to my guidance counselor and she kind of mentioned it. And she was like, school maybe wasn't going so well. And she was like, you know what, if it doesn't go so well, that's an option. And then from that moment, I was like, that's great. I don't need to do anything else here. So I did like the idea of it, but I'm grateful now I didn't go.
Did you do art in school?
No, actually, that's another one. And in first year, when you do 3 months of each one, they can do different, do woodwork. So I'd done art. I obviously wanted, I'd always drawn and stuff. And so I was looking forward to doing that in school. And then got into a bit of trouble in school to where they knew I was only obviously pushing myself in the art class and not really partaking elsewhere. So they actually, as punishment, took me out of the art class.
Come on.
Yeah, that's so really old school teaching, isn't it?
End, so it was all right.
That's really old school. You're really excelling in this one thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you out of it.
Yeah, it's great,
take
isn't
that.
It? And now, they told me when I do better, I could go back. So yeah,
now learn your Mokini look in Irish, you little shit, will you?
Yeah. Ryan, what age were you when you first got your tattoo? First one.
When did you do the leaving cert? June, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I turned 17 in May, then done the leaving cert, and then got a tattoo straight after that. So I was just gone 17.
Jeez, you're very young.
Yeah.
What did the parents think when you got a tattoo? Because, I was 26, 27.
Sorry, not very young to get a tattoo, very young doing the leaving cert. I don't know what the general age of people getting tattoos is. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll put that in there. I'm not claiming I know anything about tattoos.
I still think it's quite young to get a tattoo. I was going to say, when I got my first tattoo, I was so worried in front of the parents that they'd be so disappointed in me. And they were.
Yeah.
you should have seen the look of disappointment on my parents' face when my brother came back. Now, he's a good 10, 11 years older than me. What do you think of this tattoo, Ryan? You know the one that Robbie Williams has on his shoulder?
Yeah, I know it. I know the exact one.
Yeah, my brother came back with one of those. Yeah. Let's just say it wasn't the best day in the O'Toole household back in the day with this big old tribal mark on someone's shoulder, likening that to Robbie Williams' rock DJ.
Were your parents annoyed, Ryan, when you got the tattoo?
They didn't like tattoos. The first one I was getting was a memorial for my granddad. So my mother had kind of been like, right, you can get this. Honestly, it was kind of just an excuse to get a tattoo when you're 17. It's like, I want one for granddad. didn't really, you know, he didn't care, obviously. So it was like, I knew I could get through that way. So I got a little tattoo. She was okay because of the reason, but made it clear that she didn't want more. So then I slowly started to get more. So it started with, once it's covered by a t-shirt, it's okay. And then she kind of moved to a shirt. And then it's just, please don't do your hands or your neck. And obviously I've done that. So now she just, she says they're lovely, but please never do your face.
Like, you can't see Ryan Graham because this is over Skype audio. But he is covered in tattoos.
How many did you say you'd have?
Jesus, I don't know. Because I've lots of, like, my arms are kind of full of, like, small things. So, you know, I don't know.
And
like,
is it true, Ryan, that you did your own tattoos on your hands and stuff?
Not my hands. I did one on my hand. I did most of my legs. I did some on my left arm. When I was like, when you're an apprentice, traditionally you have to practice on yourself. So that's where my legs came from. That's where you start. And then when you get good enough on yourself, you can start doing other people. That's
really?
Yeah.
So where do you not need two hands?
Does that make sense? No, not really. Yeah. You can, like, depends where it is. You're doing your legs. You can obviously you've got both.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh jeez, I'm just thinking about doing it on your arms. Of course, you can do it on your legs. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So what's your
arms
Instagram?
Is a little more complicated, but you can still do it. Yeah.
Yeah, give us your Instagram there, Ryan.
Your heartbreak _
social
club.
It's the pirate, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I did change it a while ago.
Give him a follow. Are you the Heartbreak Social Club on Instagram as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the _pirate_tattoo. And he is known as the pirate. He does such cool tattoos. What is your style called?
You're a cool bastard, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with you. You look hard. Hard as nails.
No, I'm very weak. Very, very weak.
He's very soft. He's from my neck of the woods, Ballantyre.
Yeah.
Oh, are you?
Are you from here? Or did you just move here?
I am traditionally from Glenageary.
I knew it.
He is. Your neck tattoo.
Graham,
is class.
Where are you from?
I'm from Mayo.
Yeah.
Ryan, your neck tattoo is unreal.
Isn't
what's
it?
What's that design?
That's like, it's the front of the neck, is it? Yeah.
Front of the neck. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like geometric dot work.
That is insane.
See, look, it does help that Ryan is a very good looking man.
Oh, yeah.
So he gets
like
away
fill
with
in
it.
A tattoo as well on your forehead. Oh no, you did that one.
Yeah, he wants a lot of tattoos up that he did. So when you started to get the tattoos, the parents, they were okay about it?
Yeah, they're all right. They didn't like them themselves, but I think once they saw I was making a career out of it, then they were pretty all right. And they both got tattoos off me since, so it came all right.
Oh, they got tattoos?
Yeah, I tattooed both of them in the end. My dad got one for he was probably 55, and then my mom's got like four since she got like her last one a little while ago when she was like 60, so.
That is so cool. Do you remember the first tattoo you gave someone?
Yeah, I see it all the time because it's on my brother, and it's so horrific. And the worst thing was, it was for like a charity day we were doing for like, I think it was like breast cancer maybe. So it's like the pink ribbon. So I did that on his leg, and it's just an absolute shocker. And obviously he's kind of, because of what it is, he's like, I feel kind of bad if I cover it up. So he's like stuck with it now.
Could he cover it up and then, how do tattoo removals go? Do you do them or is that a doctor that does them? What's the story with tattoo removals?
No, some tattoo shops do it. You can go to actual like specialized like laser removal places now. It depends what it is, what the tattoo is, where you're going. Like, I think some tattoo removal places have a good success rate, some don't. It's a pretty gray area. But
what if you have a tattoo on your wrist you want to get rid of?
So with the removal, how does it remove the tattoo? Does it just burn the bit of the skin?
Yeah,
or what goes
it's like a laser. Yeah, so it just burns it out, yeah.
Wow.
But Ryan's tattoo style is really cool. As you could see from his Instagram, they're so detailed. What is that skill you have? What is it called?
It's called single needle fine line. So again, traditionally tattoos, you'd probably be tattooing with needles that have probably, say, maybe 9-11 needles in it. It looks like one needle, but it's like 11 tiny little needles stacked. So what I do is just one of those little needles so you can get more detail into smaller spaces.
Wow.
That's really cool. Why did you want to do that specific style?
I always liked it. When I first got into tattooing, like the people that I say followed, it was kind of big in LA and stuff, and that's where it originates. No one here really done it at that time. the guy that I trained under, he didn't do it. So I was kind of just veered off it a little bit. And then when I worked in other shops, I was just doing whatever it was. So when I opened my own shop then, I was like, right, I might as well just do what I want now. That's what I wanted to do. So started doing it and yeah, been busy ever since. So it all worked out.
I actually never asked, what was it like, Nathan, when you showed your parents your wrist tattoo? What did they say?
Oh, they hated it. But I'd been broken up with at the time, so I was pretty...
Untouchable.
So my parents had to be so kind to me. Oh, yeah, that's nice. What does it mean? Oh, it just looks like a really cheap bracelet.
So you got the tattoo done, Nathan, from someone else because Ryan wouldn't do it. But then you went back to Ryan.
I went back to Ryan because there was a connection, man. I felt it.
I knew you'd come back. I knew you would.
Yeah, like I think I said to you when I was leaving, I will be back.
Yeah. What about the other person?
The other person was dreadful. I will say what is so cool about Ryan's tattoo place, the Heartbreak.
He's definitely getting
social
a free
club.
Tattoo.
No, you're not. I'm not.
Okay? I'm sick of this.
Listen to this.
Ryan, never guess, the last day on the show, he goes, can I give a shout out? I go, to who? My granny's boiler man from KN Circe.
Yeah.
Oh, I go, for
they were fixing my granny's
and
fucking
then
boiler.
He gave his mother's hairdresser a shout out before to get a free blow dry.
Jeez, thank God you finished that sentence. I didn't know what you were going to say there.
Bloody hell.
That's like you leave my mother alone.
Grace.
No, what? So I went, I don't even know, should I say where I went to for the first tattoo?
No, don't say where I went.
But it was a real like chain tattoo place. It kind of felt like it was the Starbucks of tattoos. You walk in, you say, hey, can I get a tattoo? They say, yeah, want to come in immediately? You think, God, can we book an appointment or something?
And you said you had to drop your pants or something.
Yes,
did you?
I had to pay money, drop my pants, and someone shoved their finger up my rectum. It was a very enjoyable experience. But with Ryan's place, it takes a few weeks. You have to book an appointment, you then have to meet Ryan, and then you come back again. And the vibe is really cool. Like, I am a loser, but I felt when I went into the place, it's a black door. You couldn't look inside. You have to ring the doorbell. The door slowly opens and then you're greeted by this Adonis, Ryan. And he's like, hey, how are you getting on? Sit down. And you're so nervous because you just hear all the stories. You're going to regret it. If you get a shit tattoo, you're going to regret it. And they're right. You do regret it. But it's a really, I'm going to sound very strange here, but hear me out. I feel getting a tattoo from someone, it is kind of like sleeping with them because you have this connection. I'm always going to remember that Ryan tattooed my body. I'm always going to have that. I look down on it whenever I'm naked. I think of Ryan, whether I had gotten the tattoo or not. But do you know what I mean? It's such a personal thing. And Ryan, you must find, even when you see your brother and when you see clients, because I'm sure they always go back to you, that, oh my God, I did this. I actually put this on their body.
Yeah, it is. It's quite like, I think you'll feel it as you were saying, but it is kind of like an intimate thing when you, even for me, it's like I'm putting something on your body that's going to be there even after you're gone, you know? It's a pretty intense thing. It's so common now that it's nearly overlooked at how big of a commitment it is. And that's something that I try to instill in everyone that works in my shop, that it's like, when you do it all day, every day, like I'm sure with your job, sometimes you can kind of, you almost just say, oh, it's just grand, just get on with it, just get it done. But then you remember that for someone else, it's a massive part of their life. It's not just another day. So you have to, even if you're having a shitty day or a bad day, or again, like just because you're having a shit day doesn't mean you can be like an asshole to a guest. You know, it's like you have to just always remember that it's a bigger deal for someone else than you because you're used to it. So it's, I try to remember that because, as you were saying, it's something that you'll always look at, you'll remember. It's easier for me as the artist to kind of forget the people because they're coming and going. It doesn't seem as, you know, as memorable for me as it does for you getting it done. So I try to remember that. And that's what we try to do in the shop, to make you feel like you're important, not just, yeah, come on, get it, get lost. You know what I mean? And I think that's a massive part of success. And you'll probably notice it's when you're getting tattooed. Like me personally, I'd rather get tattooed from someone that's like, say, an 8 out of 10 at tattooing and they're like a wonderful person to me than someone that's a 10 out of 10 and they're an absolute asshole. It's like, it's a lesser experience. It's, you know, the average Joe Soap, it's a very fine line between good and bad tattooing, where if you're like good at tattooing and you're like a good person, you'll reap the benefits a lot more than someone that's really good and just not good with customers, you know? So it's important to remember when someone comes in, regardless of the tattoo, that it's a big deal for them. And that's why with you, Nathan, you know, you thought I was being rude to you.
Yeah.
I know it's a big deal, so I'm like, I don't want him to get something that I think he might not want to
but
know.
You didn't stop me. I'm being nice to you. You didn't stop me. I still got it. But no, that's absolutely beautiful what you said there, Ryan, and I do agree. Look, your bedside manner, you doing the tattoo, you've always made me feel so comfortable, and I was so nervous, and for each tattoo I've always been really nervous. You did a great thing in 2016. I don't know if you're still doing it or if you will in the future. It was a thing called Scars Behind Beauty. Can you speak about what that was and why you did it?
Yeah, so Scars Behind Beauty was a project I did. I don't do it anymore. I've done it for like a year and a half, I think, where once a week I brought somebody in to the shop who had self-harm scars and covered them up with a tattoo for free in hope of kind of giving them a little new lease of life. It originated from, I've been tattooing maybe for like, I'll try not make this story too long. I've been tattooing for like probably 5-6 years at this stage, and I started to develop some like mental health problems and got to a stage where I couldn't tattoo anymore. So I ended up working on a building site for a while and had kind of just got stuck in a rut there where I was like, right, this is this. So while I was there, obviously wasn't happy, wasn't what I wanted to be doing. But tattooing at the time just wasn't possible for me. So I during that time, the person that had essentially got me into tattooing, I'd always worked in his shop, so he'd always been like a mentor to me, took his own life. So he'd left behind a shop that he had just opened that was struggling, so to speak. So I kind of said, right, I'll go in, try to give a dig out. So I was in Foss at this stage, and I was going in every Friday and tattooing. And then when I finished up in Foss, I said, you know, I'll just take a leap of faith and push myself and force myself back into tattooing. And it was the best thing I'd done. So when I got back then, I wanted to do something to kind of commemorate him. And my best friend had actually had self-harmed and was a little bit embarrassed by what was obviously left behind. So I didn't realize how bad it was for him. I knew he obviously didn't like his scars, which is obviously understandable, but he had got a job that he had wanted where he was required to wear short sleeves, and he ended up not taking the job because he didn't want people to see his arms. So I suggested that we cover him up with tattoos, and which we did, and he actually went back and got the job and was delighted. So I saw how much of an effect it could have on people. So that's where the idea came from, where I'd start doing it for other people. So I opened up an email where people would mail me, and I'd pick one a week that would come in, get them done, and hopefully, as I said, give them a new lease of life. So I'd done that for about a year and a half. Things just got a bit hectic with it. Unfortunately, there was just more people than I could tattoo. And obviously, I started having kids and stuff, as Nathan has outlined, and opened the shop. So I ended up just putting it on the back burner, but we still encourage people, if they want that sort of work, that they can come to our shop. Wow. And we will do it, you know.
Right, that's amazing. Is and that... have you kept in contact with some of those people that have come in, and then have they, you know, got other tattoos because of that?
Yeah, a good lot of them actually came back and got tattooed again, which is nice. Like a lot of them was, you know, when I done it for my friend, it was, he didn't like them, as I say, he didn't want to show them, but I didn't realize how deep it was for some people, you know. Like I got like, I think I had a waiting list of like 300 people at one stage, and I had to just like stop taking emails. It was just insane. And when you saw, especially people that had, say, overcome it, that weren't doing it anymore, how much they were held back by just having the scars. And not even with, some of them had no problem with me seeing them or anyone seeing them, but just having them was like nearly like they were wearing a regret, you know. Of course, there's some people that don't regret it, that don't have a problem with it, and that's obviously perfect. But for the people that did have a problem, did regret doing it, didn't want to have the scars, it was a good way for them to kind of, I think, close that chapter and move past it.
And did you feel great doing it, like doing these tattoos? Did you get something from it?
Yeah, 100%. Like it was, like when I done it for my friend, it was completely for his own good. It's not like an ideal surface to tattoo, you know. It's kind of like, rather than drawing on paper, it's like drawing on, say, brick, you know. It's not a flat surface, you know, with scarring, so it's not ideal to work on. It takes a bit more work, that's why some artists kind of avoid it, you know. But when I'd done it for him, it was, you know, for his own good. I was like, oh, it's tattooing on scars, it's a bit of a nuisance. But then when I saw kind of what it done for him, it was, you know, part of doing it was there was a selfishness where, you know, when you do something good and you feel good, it was like I was enjoying how it was making me feel along with how it was making them feel. It wasn't like it was dragging me down when I was doing it. It was like it was, you know, it was making me feel good too. So I said, why not? Let's just do it.
Ryan, what is the hardest place on the body to tattoo, or also for a person getting a tattoo, what's the sorest place?
Ribs is like kind of notoriously known for being the worst. It has like a lot of nerve endings and stuff. So ribs would be like the most painful place, and it's also a tough place to tattoo. Just people breathing, obviously it moves a lot. Because of the pain, they move a lot. It's like very stretchy skin, it's hard to stretch. So it's ribs would be the place that like I would have, if someone wanted to get something somewhere and said do it wherever, it's the last place I'd pick to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I always thought, and I'm not going to get this now. But
I think you should.
I'm not going to get this. Okay.
Oh yeah, Ryan, you're going to bond over this.
Ryan, I walk into your shop. Now this, I'm 29 now. So this was very much when I was in my teens.
Is this a Liverpool tattoo?
Did you tell him?
I think I must have said that Graham is a massive Liverpool fan.
So you told me that he was going to get it done. I think we won't or something.
I'm never going to get this done.
Oh, come on.
So my idea was to get across my back, maybe like top left, you'll never walk alone. And then below it, when I eventually have kids, I would get their date of birth beside it. Now, I just feel like that is very naff. Now, I'm a massive Liverpool fan, and I'm not against getting Liverpool tattoos, but the date of births of the kids, I think, underneath the Never Walk Alone would be kind of cheesy. That's what I feel.
I thought you were going to get my date of birth.
No. Well, you're like my son, Nathan. So, Ryan, I'm coming into you. Obviously, I hear you're a massive Liverpool fan too, but what would you say to that? The gap says it all.
I think you're on the right route, but we could definitely do something a little better.
What? Okay, so I'm walking into you. I'm saying, okay, I want you to walk alone with kids underneath. I don't know. I'm kind of undecided.
Well,
is it a bit cheesy?
Do you have the kids yet? Like, are you getting You Never Walk Alone and then you're waiting to
have
kids?
The kids, yeah. But no, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
But just that was my idea when I was younger. I was like, I'm always going to get this done. So what would you have suggested then I walk into you as a 18 or 19 year old?
At 18 or 19, I'd suggest not having kids.
It's too late for you.
Yeah, way too late. I'm speaking from experience, though. At 18, 19, if they start talking about, like, yeah, I want to get this and then get my kids' names, I'd just be like, just slow down. Just get something non-related to your children in 10 years and then rethink it, you know?
Do you have a Liverpool crest? You do, don't you?
I have a You'll Never Walk Alone on my arm.
Oh, listen to that. Mm. Ryan has it. He could sort you out on your arm.
Is it on your Instagram? Would it be any pictures?
No, it's not. It's bloody awful. It's on my wrist, but it's just a YNWA.
Did you do it for yourself?
I can't remember where I actually got that. I hope I didn't, because I'm looking at it now and it is awful, but you don't really notice it.
What do you make of those ones you see a lot of English people and they're in colour and the crest's in colour? And then the red starts to fade.
It's a bit intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not for me. Some people like it. Some people still get it, but
See, Jordan Henderson got the Champions League on his quad.
Yeah, that's pretty intense too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like you can see it when his shorts are up a bit. He's a massive Champions League, and then the date from Madrid, or I think it's like Madrid underneath.
Oh, that's cool.
It's intense.
Ryan, have you seen the Memphis Depay tattoo on his back? The lion with the coloured eyes. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, it's all right.
Because that's what I want, and that's why you're on the podcast, okay?
Do you know what I really respect about Ryan is? He will never slag off a tattoo.
Yeah.
He'll go, it's either intense or he'll pause. He'll go, yeah, because is there a kind of a bond within the tattoo artist community? Do you kind of, are you all in it together in a sense, or is there competition?
It's probably like anything. It's a really weird industry where, like, old school tattooing obviously has a lot of like heritage and stuff where it's people that are involved in that are very like almost religious about it. So that sort of side of it, it's very kind of competitive and certain types of tattooing shouldn't be done, all that sort of thing. And then the last few years, obviously there's a lot of younger people coming in. It's more mainstream where it'd be more of a community, you know, but there definitely is that certain shops wouldn't want me walking in, to put it that way.
Oh, interesting.
Can I ask, Ryan, obviously we've said it, you're covered in tattoos. Did you find growing up when you were gradually building with all the tattoos, do you find people look at you a different way?
Like now, no, I don't think so. I think they're so common that people don't really notice. But when I first started getting tattooed, even 10 years ago, even when I started tattooing, I was, even if I saw someone with like tattoo on their neck or something, I would even be a little bit like, wow, that's a big jump, you know? So I think it's changed a lot. First shop I worked in, there were six of us. I don't think anyone even had a neck tattoo or a hand tattoo, you know? And now, you know, some people, I won't get into it too much, but you could be 18-year-olds strutting around and all they have tattooed is their hands and their necks, you know? So it's a weird kind of change of, it's gone nearly too far the other way where people just are young without much thought, without much reason, just, oh yeah, I'll get me neck tattooed because that fella on Instagram looks gorgeous. You know what it's like, these Instagram models, that's kind of opened that door of young people covering themselves, thinking they're like, you know, people get like Beckham tattoos. Yeah. They come in to me and they're like, oh, I want this tattoo on my neck that Beckham has. And it's a weird thing where I think they think they're going to look like Beckham if they get it. And it's, it just doesn't look like that. You know, it's
you're
like,
bald,
it's
not, pal. Like, you're 50 and you're bald.
Yeah, that's exactly it though. You know, and it's kind of a thing where it's, you know, for example, Beckham can do anything he wants and he's going to look great. So if you copy him, it doesn't mean you're going to look great, you know? So it's, yeah, people more so now see someone with something and go, I'll get it, you know? And it's, yeah, it's a risky
business. I'm going to throw it out there and correct me if I'm wrong. Look, this is a big sweeping statement. Would you say at the moment there are more people with tattoos than
that's
without?
Absolute crazy.
Well, statement. I'm throwing it out there. I want to hear what Ryan thinks.
I'd say, like, if age we put bracket. It like an age, in an age bracket, definitely.
Do you hear that?
Well, you didn't put age bracket in the first question, Nathan, did you?
Ryan's
no, you
an,
didn't.
Ryan's an ally of mine. He will die for me. Ryan, what's the longest time you've ever spent on a tattoo?
The longest would probably be maybe 8 hours, I'd say, in around that little over there.
In one sitting or like...
Yeah.
Wow. And what was it? What can you say?
Yeah, it's just someone getting a sleeve, like a Japanese sleeve I was doing a few years ago. Okay. He's there for about eight, nine hours one day. That's the longest. With the style I do now, it's not really as long. You know, it might be usually 2 or 3 hours, so it's not so bad.
So is every day different for you? Do you have a different amount of clients in every day, or is it like you'll go through 2 or 3 people per day? How does it work?
Yeah, I don't really like book up too heavy where like I'll be booked up for a long time, but my days are pretty okay. I don't stack them too much. Obviously, as you'll know, Nathan, when you come in, you certainly don't want to feel like you're being rushed because there's another customer waiting when you're getting a tattoo. So I like space mail pretty well. I'll only do like probably 2 tattoos a day. I'll just book out long in advance that way rather than try pack them in. You know, there's no real benefit to packing them in unless you just want a few more quid, which obviously isn't the right avenue to go.
I will say Ryan is a tough man to like, you want to book him, but he will go on his Instagram. You follow him. And he will say, right, opening up my window, if you're interested in a tattoo, drop me an email now. And then after an hour, he'll say, sorry, guys, right, that's it, book's closed. Like, you have a window. It's like the transfer window. And then I, like a little dirty rodent, will try and slip in the DM and go, hey, buddy, old pal, remember me, the tall man with the shitty wrist tattoo. What's going on? And Ryan goes, sorry, man, I'm booked out. I don't know who you are.
Nate, yeah, I don't think you've ever just done it the right way, have you?
No, I just like the back door.
No, you, like, contact me late at night a bit drunk.
Yeah, I'm always a bit tipsy.
Coming up to your house in Ballantyre.
Hey, man, how are you?
So, Nathan, you have the radio on your right. You've got the globe on your left shoulder. You've got the wrist tattoo.
Dirty wrist tattoo.
Are you thinking of another one?
I'm sure you're the same, Ryan. Once you get the first tattoo, you do feel like the window has been smashed through and you could just go for any tattoo now. The fear somewhat goes a little bit. And some days I wake up and I go, oh, I want to get massive tattoo, I want to get this, and then the following day you'll go, actually, steady on. So I know if I am to get a tattoo, and it might happen, you never know, I'm not going to rule it out, I definitely will go to Ryan, because I actually do think it's, as Ryan said, I want to go to someone that I get on with, and that's same, because I experienced the first tattoo and that was in silence and it felt dirty, and as you said, my pants were down.
Well, when you've got a finger up your bum and you're getting a wrist tattoo, obviously
it's
there's
not wrong. What you think,
Ryan, when he came in asking for the, I don't know, probably have to have customer confidentiality. Ah,
no,
like,
it's
I'm
fine.
Here as well.
Yeah, my permission.
What did you make when he asked for a radio on his bicep? Was it very self-indulgent?
Thank you for saying bicep.
a very detailed radio. I can see the, what's it called? I can't remember what you
boom box.
It's, yeah, more like a boom box you'd see on the streets of Manhattan in 1980s.
Yeah, it means a lot to me.
Nathan, Nathan was showing us all these things. He was, I want to get something to do with the radio. And he was showing us these logos, but they were the Wi-Fi logos that you would see.
Yeah.
And he was like, what's, this is a radio transmitter. I go, it looks like the Wi-Fi.
It's either that or a picture of Joe Duffy.
Did you enjoy doing the radio on him?
Yeah, the radio was a great
idea. It looks brilliant.
I love it. It's absolutely class.
Yeah, that was a good one. And you were very steady and everything for that, weren't you? You were good.
Yeah, I'm quite a wooden broadcaster, so I really just tried to...
I'd expected you to be a bit of a messer. That's why I thought, I was like, he's going to be fidgeting, getting up and down, this, that.
Getting a bit dancing.
I'm not going to lie to you, I did want to play hide and seek.
I swear to God, you strike me as the type of person that if you had a drink, you might ask me to play hide and seek with you.
You're not allowed. I don't know what to make of that. I don't... are you allowed to drink when you get a tattoo? Because you look online and it's like, don't drink for 2 weeks now after getting a tattoo, boy.
Yeah, it's one of them. I recommend you don't.
Okay.
For example, if I was tattooing you and I knew you and I could specifically know what we're doing, you can have a drink, it's okay.
You're a good man.
If you're a normal customer that books in like a normal person, etc., then don't.
What music do you have on in the background as you're tattooing?
So good, the soundtrack.
We've quite a lot, but I like mainly we do try and mix everything, obviously, because everyone has different tastes. So if I love something, obviously you could hate it, but like, we go kind of for like chilled out, like jazz, a lot of 50s, that sort of thing.
I was pushing for Cliff Richard.
Yeah.
I was nearly running out of the shop. Ryan, let's give plugs here because I really do want to get the message out. So your tattoo parlor, it was on Capel Street. That has now since gone, hasn't it?
So the one on Capel Street on the 1st of December will be reopening as a piercing shop.
Okay.
So still there, but just piercings. And all the tattooing has moved over to Drury Street. So we're there now. And that's where all the tattooing will be happening. So the other shop's still there, but just for piercings.
I felt very sorry for you when you opened up the new store. You could only do it for a day, couldn't you?
I know. Yeah, it was rough. Because when we took over, we'd worked on having it done in like 7 weeks for the fit out. So our like deadline day was, say, whatever date the Wednesday was. So obviously been like doing all nighters for a long time and stuff. We got it there, and then we heard about lockdown probably happening a few days before, but we said, here, we'll just push on because we've went this far. So we managed to get it done the night before, obviously opened on Wednesday, and then went into the lockdown on Thursday. So we got one day out of it, but it is what it is, you know, what can you do?
So what level are you allowed to open at? Is it 4 or 3?
We're okay at 3.
Okay.
All right.
So we're in 5 now, so we've got to get down to 3.
I'm hopeful.
Well, the cases are going down, so hopefully by the 1st of December, we'll go straight from, I'm hoping, 5 to 3. Don't be messing around with this.
Don't
be coming at me with 4. Let's get down to 3.
I'm like, 1st of December, I'm going to open either way.
That's what we want to hear. Well, Ryan, I have to say, thank you so much for doing this podcast. You've been fantastic. I'm sure the listener can gather just how nice you are. And, you know, brother, thank you for that free tattoo. I do appreciate it. You're a good man.
Okay, so he's Heartbreak Social Club on Instagram. That's
check
the name of the shop.
Check him out.
On Drury Street. And the _... Pirate _tattoo is his personal. I've just given you a follow.
Are you taking any bookings at the moment, Ryan? Or
books closed, it says.
Books closed, okay.
Only for Graham.
You'll never walk alone. I'll be into you after all my kids.
Ryan,
thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, brother.
Great talking
to you.
Bye-bye.
Not going to lie, kind of want a tattoo now.
Oh, yeah.
I probably will end up getting a tattoo
sometime.
Oh,
I'll get a tattoo with you, man. Isn't he great?
He's fantastic.
Like, isn't he?
I know.
So good looking.
Jesus Christ. I know I said it.
Mm.
Do you know who he reminds me of? Remember your Australian friend?
Yes, Pete.
We had him on the podcast
Aussie
before.
Pete.
I thought that was who he was.
Yeah.
He's the image of him. This guy is so good looking.
Oh my God. I told you that he lives in Ballantyre. That's where I'm living.
He looks like a model.
I went into the Centra opposite the apartment block.
Yeah.
The day after getting the radio tattoo. And I'm in Centra just picking up a chicken fillet roll. And he is wearing a beanie, class jeans with his smoking hot fiance.
Oh, I can only imagine what you were looking like.
I looked terrible.
It stained sweats with Crocs and a hoodie and a hat on that covers most of your face.
He goes over to me, "Nathan, how are you getting on, man?" I go, "Get away from me, you took my money."
So I'm looking at some of the things. So his tattoos are so detailed.
Please do check them out, honestly.
There's one here of a Nike Air Max.
See how detailed it is.
So he only does black and white, I presume. And Chanel number 5.
Yeah.
That is.
Did you see
class.
The Kobe Bryant tattoo? Someone got Kobe Bryant after he passed away.
There's so many. So it's, he's good at faces.
But I'm glad you got to chat to Ryan.
He's a cool guy.
Because honestly,
he's a cool guy.
He's actually one of those people that when I spent time with him, like throughout the entire process of getting the tattoo, I was just thinking, man, I could go for pints with this guy. He is so funny. Oh, he's so easy to talk to, isn't
he? Last year when he had the blonde hair.
Oh my God.
He dared to say blonde. Oh. I can't get over.
He's a so gorgeous good. Man.
I have a man crush on him.
Yeah, I'm so surprised he agreed to do this podcast. I will be honest with you. When I slid into his DMs, I wasn't expecting a response.
Do you know what? He looks like he's in his mid-30s, but I wouldn't be surprised if you told me he was 25.
He's in his 20s.
I bet he's younger than us.
He's in his 20s and he has 3 children.
Wow, does he?
Yeah.
How old is he? Because, you know, I'm getting this thing now. Like there was
I think
a fella
he's like 28 or something.
Yeah. Well, check him out. We've plugged himself enough anyway.
But I feel like this wasn't just a dirty ad. Like
it,
I actually
wasn't
felt,
an ad.
Sorry, I just I don't want to
say. The way you said that now, it makes me feel like it was
no,
an ad.
No, because you kept saying I'm getting a free tattoo from him. Please,
where
check him out. I'm going to chance my luck. Why not? Do you blame me?
Thanks very much, GrahamandNathan@gmail.com. We'll chat to you soon. Cut me.